So we continue to read from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, Volume 1, by Satrup Das Goswami. Reading from the chapter, How Shall I Serve You? It was not possible for Abhay to travel with his spiritual master, or even to see him often. His pharmaceutical business kept him busy, and he traveled frequently. Wherever possible, however, he tried to time a business trip to Calcutta when his spiritual master was also there. Thus, over the next 4 years, he managed to see his spiritual master perhaps a dozen times. Whenever Abhay visited Calcutta, the assistant librarian at the Gaudiya Math, Nityananda Brahmachari, would meet him at Howrah train station with a two-horse carriage long to the mat. Nityananda saw Abhay as an unusually humble and tolerant person. As they rode together to the mat, Abhay would inquire eagerly into the latest activities of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. His traveling, his publishing, how many centers were currently open, how his disciples were doing. They wouldn't talk much about Abhay's business. Abhay would stay at the Gaudiya Math usually for about 5 days. Sometimes he would visit one of his sisters who lived in Calcutta, but his main reason for coming was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, and Abhay would take advantage of every opportunity to hear him. Abhay didn't try to become a leader in the inner management of the Gaudiya Math. His spiritual master had initiated 18 sannyasis who carried out most of the preaching and leadership of the mission. Abhay was always the householder, occupied with his own business and family, never living within the mat except for brief visits. Yet he began to develop a close relationship with his spiritual master. Sometimes Abhay would go to see him at the Chaitanya Mat at the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya in Mayapur. One day at the Chaitanya Mat, Abhay was in the courtyard when a large poisonous snake crawled out in front of him. Abhay called out for his godbrothers, but when they came, everyone simply stood looking, uncertain what to do. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta came out on the veranda of the second floor, glanced down, saw the snake, and immediately ordered, "Kill it!" Abhay then took a large stick and killed the snake. Srila Prabhupada, "So, I thought, how is it that Guru Maharaj ordered the snake to be killed?" I was a little surprised, but later on I saw this verse, and then I was very glad. Modeta sadurapi vrichika sarpa hatya. Even saintly persons take pleasure in the killing of a scorpion or a snake. It had remained a doubt how Guru Maharaj ordered the snake to be killed. But when I read this verse, I was very much pleased that this creature or creatures like the snake should not be shown any mercy. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was reputed to be so austere and so strong in argument against other philosophies that even his own disciples were cautious in approaching him if he were sitting alone or if they had no specific business with him. Yet, even though Abhay's contact with him was quite limited, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta would always treat him kindly. Srila Prabhupada, "Whenever I met my Guru Maharaj, he would always treat me very affectionately. Sometimes my godbrothers would criticize because I would talk a little freely with him, and they would quote this English saying, 'Fools rush in where angels fear to tread.' But I would think, 'Fool? Well, maybe that is the way I am.' My Guru Maharaj was always very, very affectionate to me. When I offered obeisances, he used to return, 'Daso smi, I am your servant.'" Sometimes the Srila Bhakti Siddhanta paced back and forth chanting the Hare Krishna mantra aloud while fingering his beads. Abhay would enter the room and also chant, walking alongside his spiritual master. Once when Abhay entered Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's room, his spiritual master was sitting on a couch, and Abhay took a seat beside him on an equal level. But then he noticed that all the other disciples in the room were sitting on a lower level at their spiritual master's feet. Abhay kept his seat, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said nothing of it, but Abhay never again sat on an equal level with his spiritual master. Once in a room with many disciples, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was speaking and Abhay listening when an old man beside Abhay motioned to him. As Abhay leaned over to hear what the man wanted, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta suddenly spoke out in annoyance at the two apparently inattentive students. "Babu," he first addressed the old man beside Abhay, "do you think you have purchased me with your 150 rupees per month donation?" And then turning to Abhay, "Why don't you come up here and speak instead of me?" Abhay was outwardly mortified, yet he treasured the rebuke. It was in a private meeting that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta once told Abhay of the risk he took by preaching so boldly. "Srila Prabhupada, My Guru Maharaj's contribution is that he defeated the caste Goswamis. He defeated his Brahmanism. He did it in the same way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Kiba vipra kiba nyasa sudra kena nyai, ye Krishna tattva veta se guru hai. There is no consideration whether one is sannyasi, a brahmana, a sudra, or a grihastha. No. Anyone who knows the science of Krishna, he is all right. He is Goswami and he is brahmana. But no one else taught that since Lord Chaitanya. This was my Guru Maharaj's contribution. And for this reason, he had to face so many vehement protests from these Brahmana caste Goswamis. Once they conspired to kill him, my Guru Maharaj told me personally, by his grace, when we used to meet alone, he used to talk about so many things. He was so kind that he used to talk with me. And he personally told me that these people, they wanted to kill me. They collected 25,000 rupees and went to bribe the police officer in charge of the area, saying, you take these 25,000 rupees, we shall do something against Bhaktisananda Sarasvati, and you don't take any step. You don't take any steps. You can understand that they wanted to kill him. So the police officer frankly came to Bhaktisananda Sarasvati. Of course we accept bribes. We indulge in such things. But not for a sadhu. Not for a saintly person. I cannot dare. So the police officer refused and said to my Guru Maharaj, you take care, this is the position. So vehemently they protested. But he liked boldness in his disciples. Abai heard of an occasion when one of Srila Bhaktisananda Sarasvati's disciples had been very outspoken at a public meeting and had denounced a highly regarded Mayavad monk as a foolish priest. The remark had caused a disruption at the meeting, and some of the disciples reported the incident to Srila Bhaktisananda, thinking he would be displeased that his disciple had caused a disturbance. But Srila Bhaktisananda was pleased and remarked, he has done well. His displeasure occurred rather when he heard of someone's compromise. Srila Prabhupada, when my Guru Maharaj was present, even big scholars were afraid to talk with even his beginning students. My Guru Maharaj was called Living Encyclopedia. He could talk with anyone on any subject. He was so learned. And no compromise. So-called saints, avatars, yogis, everyone who was false was an enemy to my Guru Maharaj. He never compromised. Some godbrothers complained that his preaching was a chopping technique and it would not be successful. But those who criticized him fell down. Srila Bhaktisananda was known as the Singha, Lion Guru. On occasion, when he saw someone he knew to be a proponent of impersonalism, he would call that person over and challenge, why are you cheating the people with Mayavadi philosophy? He would often tell his disciples not to compromise. Why should you go flatter? He would say, you should speak the plain truth without any flattery. Money will come anyway. Whenever Srila Bhaktisananda wrote or spoke the Vaishnava philosophy, he was uncompromising. The conclusion was according to the Shastra and the logic strong. But sometimes Abai would hear his spiritual master express the eternal teachings in a unique way that Abai knew he would never forget. Don't try to see God, Srila Bhaktisananda would say, but act in such a way that God sees you. Srila Bhaktisananda condemned temple proprietors who made a business of showing the deity for a living. To be a sweeper in the street was more honorable, he said. He coined a Bengali phrase, Shalagram Dwara Badam Bhanga. The priests are taking the Shalagram deity as a stone for cracking nuts. In other words, if a person shows the Shalagram form of the Lord, or any form of the deity, simply with a few to make money, then he is seeing the deity not as a Lord, but as a stone, a means for earning his livelihood. Abai had the opportunity to see his spiritual master deal with the nationalist Subhas Chandra Bose, who had been Abai's schoolmate at Scottish Church's College. Bose had come in a somewhat critical mood, concerned about Srila Bhaktisananda's recruiting young men into religious life. Srila Prabhupada, Subhas Chandra Bose came to my Guru Maharaj and said, so many people you have captured, they are doing nothing for nationalism. My Guru Maharaj replied, well, for your national propaganda, you require very strong men. But these people are very weak. You can see, they are very skinny. So don't put your glance upon them. Let them eat something and chant Hare Krishna. In this way, he avoided him. Srila Bhaktisananda used to say that when the day came when high court judges were devotees of Krishna with Vaishnava tilak on their foreheads, Then he would know that the mission of spreading Krishna consciousness was becoming successful. He said that Jesus Christ was a Shakti Advaita avatar, an empowered incarnation of God. How can it be otherwise? He said. He sacrificed everything for God. In his scholarly language, he declared, the materialistic demeanor cannot possibly stretch to the transcendental autocrat. But sometimes in speech, he phrased it in a more down-to-earth way. The mundane scholars who are trying to understand the Supreme Lord by their senses and mental speculation are like a person trying to taste the honey in a bottle by licking the outside of the bottle. Philosophy without religion, he said, is dry speculation. And religion without philosophy is sentiment and sometimes fanaticism. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that the whole world was simply a society of cheaters and cheated. He gave the example that loose women often visit certain holy places in India with the idea of seducing the sadhus, thinking that to have a child by a sadhu is prestigious. And immoral men dress themselves as sadhus, hoping to be seduced by the cheating women. His conclusion, a person should aspire to leave the material world and go back to Godhead, because this material world is not a fit place for a gentleman. Abhay saw that when disciples asked the spiritual master about something in the future, he never replied, "Yes, it is going to happen," or "Yes, we are going to do it." Rather, he would say, "Yes, if Krishna desires, it may be." Although in his younger years he had been an astrologer and able to predict the future, he had given it up. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was a lifetime brahmachari and was very strict about avoiding association with women. Once Abhay was sitting with his spiritual master when another disciple was present, along with his young wife. The wife asked Srila Bhaktisiddhanta if she might speak with him privately, but he replied, "No. Whatever it is, you can ask here. I cannot see you in private." Abhay was impressed by this, since Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was in his 60s and a girl could have been his granddaughter. Regardless, he would not speak with any woman alone. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta liked to make his disciples into sannyasis. But one day, one of his sannyas disciples was forcibly dragged away by his wife. In tears, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta lamented that he was unable to save that soul, yet he did not speak despairingly of Krishna conscious family life. "I would have sex hundreds of times if I thought that I could raise Krishna conscious children." He would send his brahmacharis out to sell the Gaudiya Math magazines and books, and even if a brahmachari were able to sell only one or two, it would please him very much. And he would exclaim, "You are so nice." In considering whether essays were worthy for publication, he would count how many times the word Krishna or Chaitanya had been used. If these holy names had been quoted sufficiently, he would say, "That's all right, this can be used." He would say in Bengali, "Pranachayar se hetu prachar." A person must have life to be a preacher. A dead man cannot preach. When some of his preachers who had gone to chant and speak reported that no one had attended their meeting, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta replied, "That doesn't matter. The four walls will hear you. That is sufficient. Don't be disappointed. Go on chanting." And in commenting on the fact that some of his disciples had fallen away, "Some of the soldiers will die," he said. But he did not want his disciples to lead an easygoing life. He once criticized a disciple as being ease-loving. Nor should they attempt to practice austerities in seclusion. He would sing a song of his own composition. "Dustamana tumi kishera Vaishnava." "My dear mind, what kind of Vaishnava are you? You are chanting Hare Krishna in a solitary place, imitating the great saints Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami, but your meditation is actually to think of women and money. Your mind is filled with such dirty things, so your bhajan is simply cheating." He taught that if a devotee gave up his preaching in the city in favor of solitary meditation, there was a method of cheating by imitating the great saints in hopes of getting cheap adoration from others. Therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta never liked to open a branch of the Gaudiya Math in a place that was not very much populated. Abhay went on listening to his spiritual master at every opportunity, but rarely did Abhay put a philosophical inquiry before him. He preferred simply to listen. Srila Prabhupada, "I never asked my spiritual master a question except one. How shall I serve you? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.